It's tough to do legal analysis in iambic pentameter. I can say that without hesitation because I've attempted it myself. Sure, it's possible to rhyme a numbered statute, for example, with an appropriate fact, but the result is never as clear as you'd get with prose. Take lines from an earlier commentary analyzing a criminal prosecution against the Grinch, the hairy green guy who stole Christmas. Illinois Code Section 19-3 describes residential burglary. And Illinois' cruelty to animal law was written to get the Grinch right in the craw. Had the thing been in prose, burglary would have three syllables, not four, and I would have used some word other than craw, I assure you. But in my example, it's all supposed to be fun. As I wrote those lines, I wasn't wearing a black robe and sitting behind a bench. No one needed to rely on my words to analyze another case. But a judge does need to have his words understood. An opinion in the law books will be read by lawyers and judges in the future. He'll need to get his point across. So you might be surprised to learn that there are frustrated poets out there who sit behind a bench with quill pen in hand. A friend recently emailed me a case decided earlier this year from Texas, for example, one that lends itself to rhyme as much as any situation involving the Grinch. When country music star Leanne Rimes sues a record company, a creative judge must make the best of the situation. So the opinion contains lines set to Leanne Rimes' songs, lines like the following, analyzing a clause in a contract and supplemented with extensive footnotes. Leanne Rimes, a very rich and famous star, wasn't so rich in times afar. Oh, if you could have seen, baby, those attorneys changed everything. Why did you sign, Leanne Rimes, so long ago, off on that choice of forum your attorneys didn't know? They made lots of changes, but one thing survived, forum clause. To that clause, what weight do we give? That opinion in poem form reminds me of a case from Ohio several of my students found when they needed to research the law regarding engagement rings and who gets to keep them when engaged couples split. The court wrote its entire decision in rhyme and came up with the following verses. Plaintiff Doris Irvin, by and through her complaint, alleges that one Jimmy Smith, apparently not quite a saint, wooed her from her calling, missionary for her church, promised her the aisle, then left her in a lurch. This is not to say that there are many opinions in rhyme out there in the law books, but there are some, and lawyers need to apply those decisions as precedent as much as decisions written in prose. Now, how can I ever be critical, having the same sort of brain? But it's tough to rely on such wording, and yet there in the books it remains. Now, I know that the bench can be boring with issues like contracts and such, but the words a judge writes are important, because lawyers rely on them much. So even if it's Bill, as in Shakespeare, who comes forward with some sort of case, a judge must remember her calling and write words that all can embrace. And if you have no clue what I just said, you understand exactly what I mean. I'm Amy Guida.